Great.
507, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Portland State University for $304,000 under the 2014 Bureau of Justice Assistant Smart Policing Initiative Grant Program to provide research and services to the Police Bureau for the study of the Neighborhood Involvement Locations Program.
Great. Sergeant Stewart and Dr. LaBussière are here, I think. Welcome. Come on up. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, and thank you for having us. I think most of you are familiar with this, but just to make sure everybody's up to speed, I'll kind of cover the history of this briefly. In approximately 2012, both the Police Bureau and City Council became interested in taking a more evidence-based approach to policing. The council heard from Dr. Cody Tlaib from now Arizona State University about some of the best practices nationally in policing and some of the evidence-based approaches different localities have been attempting. Chief Reese attended a conference in Seattle on evidence-based policing. One of these approaches was something called hotspot policing. Hotspot policing has history in Portland that there are a lot of community members who are concerned about it. We began exploring it as a potential evidence-based approach to reducing crime. With input from the mayor's office and different portions of the community, we realized that hotspot policing, as it's practiced in a number of localities, would not be consistent with the values of Portland. We took that input and modified the program. We attempted to use high-visibility patrol as a crime deterrent while using foot patrols or encouraging officers to get outside of their cars and interact more directly with the community as a community engagement piece. As an important piece of this and as part of the evidence-based process, we partnered with Portland State University so that we could adequately study what we were attempting to do, and we ran a randomized control trial. As part of that, we applied for a grant, which was initially not accepted. However, with the support of the mayor and the chief and current chief O'Day, we were able to run the experiment despite not being funded. That was a fairly novel approach to policing nationally. The Bureau of Justice Assistance was excited about it and returned to us and asked that they then kind of retroactively fund the grant and help pay for the research of this program. As part of the grant, we'd agreed to partner with PSU on the research. Portland State University spent actual money on their own part to fund a number of these activities. They also dedicated hundreds of hours to this grant. As part of the grant application process, it was a competitive process, and the participants were scored with Portland State University being recognized as a partner. And I'll let Dr. LaBussière talk about kind of the research steps being taken. This particular piece of the project is solely focused on the research for what has already occurred. As the program moves forward, we're going to need to engage in additional community outreach to build the program and build community support for the program and make sure the program stays focused on the community values. However, this particular piece is directly related to the research. And, Doctor, could you kind of describe some of what we've been engaged in?
Sure.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think first it's helpful to frame what the research actually is studying. NILOC frames itself as directly in opposition to how hotspot policing, stop and frisk, as it was operationalized in New York. So it's not hotspot policing. The framing on is neighborhood involvement location. I think first was the shift in what it is that we're attempting to do, or the initiative is attempting to do, and understanding. The impact that hotspot policing that the purpose is to really begin to think very, very differently about how we approach public safety and that public trust and community building, community relations is really at the heart of what he's attempting to do. So the research is really attempting to understand what happens, what the impact of this initiative is on how, on the officers and on how the citizens are experiencing their interactions with the police officers. We've conducted a focus group with the officers focused on their experience, their understanding of what NILOC was, how the public interacted with them, and talk to the officers about how that began to really shift how their understanding of how they can better build trust and community. We've also conducted a survey, and we're beginning to connect the findings from the survey with what we are learning from the focus group. Within the survey, we want to understand the experience of different citizens with this form of involvement. So equity is a significant value in this. We want to understand how this engagement is changing the public perception of the police.
Tell us a little more, Dr. Lepicier and Greg, about how the council and the community will get the results of this research. So you're doing this work. You've got your colleagues at PSU assisting in analyzing your findings. When do we sort of put that out there as a research product, not just in the at PSU, but also here in the for the council and for the community? I think people will want to know, when do we see the results of this, and what will we learn?
I've got the plan, so I can at least cover that, and then mm-hmm. if I miss anything, the doctor can correct me. So as part of this grant application, we had to turn in an action plan to the Bureau of Justice Assistance regarding the research, mm-hmm. Which I can provide to anyone who's interested. And it explicitly spells out both the research questions of the project as well as providing timelines for when we'll produce documents or reports on those research questions. We're kind of behind time now because there's been some just the process of getting the grants approved and getting the money released. But basically, there will be two evaluations. There will be a process evaluation, which is really focused on kind of the did we do what we said we were going to do. The research questions related to that will include officer perceptions, whether the locations identified were optimal, whether the time spent, it's called dosage compliance in the researchy jargon, but it really means is were we there when we said we'd be there as much as we said we'd be there. And then the activities of the officers in those areas, including stop activities, to make sure there was a lot of community concern about this driving up the number of stops, which at least initial, not the scientific research, but our estimates are that it actually decreased stops. How it impacted officer discretionary time, and then the sustainability of the program. Then the second major evaluation will consist of an impact evaluation, which has 7 research questions. The first regards community attitudes, which in really a pretty novel, and I'm actually quite proud of this because the Portland Police Bureau played a major role in the mapping of this, in a really novel strategy towards identifying more specific concerns of community members. We conducted very focused surveys on the localities around where this occurred. So in the immediate location and then a buffer zone of about 500 feet on each side, and one of our analysts was really integral in the development of that, which is a fairly novel approach to this. We conducted extensive community surveys. We're also going to examine, of course, its impact on crimes and calls for service. I mean, was it effective as a crime reduction strategy? While the overall technique's been demonstrated to be a crime reduction strategy, we've really modified it to meet kind of the values, remain consistent with how Portland does things. So we really can't use the national research on this because we've taken a really different approach. So we're going to examine that. Again, we're going to examine dose response, like was it responsive to how much we were there? We'll examine non-investigative versus investigative stops, and this is a significant component to the equity research. And one of the nice things about this is because we have control locations, we'll be able to look at does just the identification of this location as potentially high crime impact behavior. The team we've assembled includes both social psychologists as well as criminologists. So there's a number of questions related to social psychology and how officers perceive these locations that we'll be able to explore, which could be important as we move forward in terms of how we want to label our activities in such a way as to influence officers to you know behave in the ways that the chief would like and the community wants. We're also examining displacement, and then the last question revolves around kind of the some traffic accidents and some other unintended consequences, either positive or negative, that may kind of be revealed through the analysis of the data. The project itself, the grant is for 3 years, so we're kind of approaching these sequentially. Our initial sort of questions or processes are focused on both community attitudes and officer attitudes, because as we operationalize this and move forward, we felt those would be the two most valuable questions to impact how we want to approach this going forward. Because it's extensive research and because the research will be conducted over a course of years, we're kind of trying to approach it in such a way that we learn things more immediately that will impact how we go forward and then adjust otherwise. And I can provide you, again, the timeline's no longer exact, but we have a timeline which spells out both the activities, who's conducting the activities, and then when reports will be disseminated.
Yeah, that'd be useful, I think, for the council to see that. And then we might also want to try to combine some other reporting that we're doing, whether it's under the DOJ settlement or otherwise, with this work, so that the council gets a picture. Here's what the independent research at PSU is showing. Here's what the analysts that we're funding in this year's budget in the Bureau are doing. You know, here's the data about the interaction, and not just in this NILOC effort, but elsewhere in the Bureau as well.
And just for City Council to be aware of, this is actually the our time with the city. While this is for the intergovernmental agreement, the Bureau of Justice Assistance is actually providing the city with an analyst for the duration of this grant, as well as other monies, approximately $400,000 and change, I believe, to help pay for the city's participation in this. So we'll be receiving the research, but the citizens of Portland won't necessarily be out of pocket for our participation in this.
Thank you. Questions?
Did you check the demographics of both the officers who were involved in the hotspot patrolling and also their focus groups?
I don't know about the focus. I'll let you ask those focus groups.
Yes, we did. We have the data on demographics, gender, race, ethnicity of those who participated. Yes.
I'd be very interested to see if there are differences in the perception of the officers in different demographic groups.
Mm-hmm.
That would be helpful, as the mayor said, in our Department of Justice reports work. I was interested to see that the officers who were involved in the focus groups received a $100 gift certificate, and I'm wondering why.
That's actually normal for this kind of research. That was not provided by the police bureau. Frequently when people conduct focus groups, they're given incentives to attend them.
And there was only officers attending this. It wasn't community members as well. Is
that
correct?
Well, there weren't community members. The focus groups were specific to the officers.
So was there any compensation to the community members who participated in the survey?
No, and that was for a different reason. The survey was done ad hoc, basically with no money, so that we would have really liked to have had money to use an incentive for those surveys. However, we were doing it all without funding at that point. When the surveys, it's kind of technical, but we did a roll through because of the number of calls this took. They were actually staggered in over time. So one group of locations would come online. As they end, we'd have to survey the community that was in that area because we couldn't wait too long. And at that point, the Bureau and PSU were both just putting their own money into it, and we didn't have any money for that.
But if PSU had money for the officers, wouldn't that have been better spent compensating community members?
That happened later, after we'd received the grant. That occurred.
That option then earlier.
Correct. The timing was such that the surveys were going out while the project was ongoing and it was non-grant funded. We wouldn't have done the focus groups if we hadn't have received the grant to pay for it, because it would have just been too expensive.
Well, I'm very much appreciative of the evidence-based approach. It seems to me this is part of the Bureau's work to be evaluating how we're doing things. So providing additional compensation to officers who participate doesn't sit well with me, especially when we're not able to provide community members with compensation.
I understand those concerns. I do think it's important to recognize that in our prioritization of the data we were collecting, that occurred because we prioritized gathering the community, the survey data from the community above the officer data. So the officer, the focus groups wouldn't have occurred. So the reason the community didn't receive that was because we did it first off to make sure we could collect those data.
Right, but you could just assign the officers to go to the focus group, right?
I'll let the doctor talk about that.
I think the focus group is a considerable amount of time investment. And I think the plan is eventually that we will be doing focus group with community members, and we will be compensating community members in that way
Were the officers unpaid on work time or on their own time?
No, they were on their own. This was totally separate. I don't even know what officers went. Like, I'm not allowed to see those data. This is part of, as the research end, they've submitted the research ethics?
The IRB, Institutional Review Board.
So when you get to the community service focus groups, then you will be providing compensation?
I think partly as a result of the methodology. Typically, we pay people for participating in focus groups. For surveys, we don't often pay people. So eventually, as the research rolls out, where we'll be inviting community members in focus group, we'll also be compensating in the similar way.
And the officers attended on their own time. I think that's really important. I apologize for not. I can see how that would cause some consternation. This was done completely independent of the Bureau. The officers, all we provided was a list of people who had done them, and the researchers conducted that portion of that kind of in, it is sort of a best practice. I don't know who went, and the Bureau, and the officers who went were told that so that they could be, completely open, forthright in their answers.
Thank you. That's a good explanation. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? Great. Thank you both for being here. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Look forward to more. Okay. We'll take public testimony on this. Anyone want to speak on this ordinance?
Joe Walsh and Charles Johnson.
For the record, my name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Once again, Commissioner Fritz took a lot of steam away. It was a red flag for me also when I was reading the documentation and realized the officers were getting a $100 gift certificate for taking part in this. And the first thing I wondered, are these guys being paid and then getting this $100? So it seems to me that, if I understand it correctly, they were volunteers not being paid, and they got the $100 gift certificate as compensation. Also, the point that the good commissioner raised about the civilians is a good argument, that whatever happens with the police department surely should happen with the civilians, and they should be compensated also. One of the things that we had a problem with this is that, to us, and we may be wrong on this, this is a classic process taking place that is eating up $700,000. Because at the end of the day, at the end of the process, you're going to have a study. That's the way we're reading it. This is a study that's being done by PSU and the police department to find out basically what kind of relationship they have with the citizens of Portland, which is an honorable thing. I don't have a problem with that. But I can give it to you free. The relationship sucks. We don't trust the police department. Everybody is telling you that. Why are you spending almost $700,000 to find out that we don't trust the police department? We have studies being done by the settlement. We have COAB trying to study what's going on with the police department and the relationship between the police department and the citizens. Why are we spending $700,000? And I know it's not our money. It's state money. Lady and gentlemen, It's taxes. Some little old lady is paying that. Some guy working 80 hours a week is paying it, and it is tax money. It is not free money because it comes from the state. And I fear your attitude is, well, it's state money. Hell, we got a grant. Let's go spend it. And what do you have at the end of the day? Another dust-collecting study that tells you that the citizens of Portland do not trust the police department, and I'm offering to do it free. Maybe a mocha. Buy me a mocha. Thank you.
Still good morning, commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for highlighting that little structural abnormality where officers that were volunteering their time, like a lot of other focus group members, got compensation. I don't know how many hours that focus group took, but I really appreciate Commissioner Fritz bringing that to light, because there is a problem, besides the problems of what the Portland police do wrong that turns into lawsuits that the city has to pay out, there's also a public perception problem in many neighborhoods of the city about the conduct of the Portland police. And I hope that this study and the almost $700,000 involved in this grant will be wisely and effectively used to reduce harm from police, reduce harm even to police, and improve community relations. To do that, you all are going to have to stay hands-on and possibly even ask that there be an additional focus group along with this, where people from the NAACP, from the Urban League, from the Albina Ministerial Alliance, they don't need to get a $100 gift, but they need to, the organizers of the study and you need to really sell, even though it's free money from the state and from other taxpayers, you really need to, I think, do an extra PR, not just PR, but a real caring community thing to have stakeholders understand this study and how this study is going to be a wise expenditure to improve police conduct and police community relations. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, then roll call on the emergency ordinance, please.
Fish.
Aye.
Zossman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
The purpose of this grant is to do a 3-year serial study to see if we are improving, and I certainly appreciate the evidence-based approach. Aye.
Hales.
I think when you listen to Sergeant Seward, you realize his hunger for good data, and I appreciate that in him and in others in the Bureau, that we actually want to know, and we want independent, highly qualified people to look at how we do our work and to tell us whether it's having a disproportionate impact and to tell us what communications would make that relationship work better and which ones we're using that maybe aren't. So I really welcome this. The partnership with PSU extends to lots of ways that the university serves the city, as it says on the sign. But this is another way where knowledge will serve the city. And I think that the fact that, again, we are different in some ways I'm proud of from other cities, we have a settlement agreement with the United States Department of Justice, not a compliance order from a judge against a city that wasn't willing to look at itself. And in this case, we have a federal agency acknowledging that we are trying hard to learn and asking truly independent academic researchers to look at how we do our work, and they're backing that thoughtful research with federal dollars, and we appreciate those as well. Look forward to having periodic reports as you get the work done, and for the council and the community to be able to hear from you. Thank you very much. Aye. Okay,